How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Joe works the right side. Puts it down on the deck. They double team. He jump stops in the lane. He pulls a pass to the corner. It's Ingles from Happy Valley, and he hits! 102-94!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of May, an update on where things sit in the NBA. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about Joe Ingles' season in review. We're just about 30 days to the NBA draft. Time to start learning a little bit about these guys. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. How are you? I got a great email the other day with ideas for a new version of Pins Across the World, which I thought was cool. So anyone who has any other ideas, but this one had a little bit to do with staff and things like that. I don't know if I could fill every day with it, but maybe during the season we can do little tidbits of that. I have another idea that I'll throw out that we'll get to a little bit later and try to get to know the players a little bit from what people want to know and think. But I'm always open for suggestions. So if you want to send me anything at dlock09@gmail.com, that would be great. Well, we are, believe it or not, we are almost 30 days, not quite, to the NBA draft. So it's time to start kind of digging in a little bit. I'll start doing some work, probably not honestly, and I hope this does not, forever damage whether you like me or not, but probably a little less than what we have done in the past, because I guess we're a little more than 30. I guess the draft is the 29th. I am going to be leaving town on the 19th of June up until draft day. So I had just too good an opportunity on a trip to go do something amazing, and so I'm going to do that. So we'll figure out draft coverage. I'll try to have some programming set for you. All right, let's get to the show today. So it's brought to you, by the way, by Murdoch Hyundai, which gets to another good thing, but I'll share that in a little bit. So the email I'm getting virtually every day is, does this impact Gordon? And I got to be honest, I just don't think game to game, Boston's win last night, or it's going to be circumstances. I'm not entirely convinced Boston, as it sits right now, is any better than the Jazz. There are some circumstances in which Boston makes some moves, and then they become a dream team. But if they're not a dream team, then I'm not sure that it's that great. There's other things that are out there. Let's keep an, the world can change an awful lot between now and July. And remember that the Jazz have done an awfully nice job with everything in regards to Gordon. I mean, he's got a great situation here and that he enjoys, that he understands the value of it. And now he has to figure out what he thinks is best for him in his next stage. But I just don't feel as though day to day there's an impact on his, what's happening. I don't think it's swaying back and forth. It's also not really how he works. And I think a lot of this has to do with, frankly, who's impacting decisions, and that's something I don't think any of us are ever going to know. So probably the stress that I'm feeling, that you're feeling, there's nothing we can do about it. We're in a unique situation where the most desirable free agent that's out there is ours. And that's interesting, and it's a unique circumstance for us to be in. Kevin Pelton did a piece on ESPN of the top 30 free agents. Steph 1, Durant 2, Chris Paul 3, Kyle Lowry 4, Paul Millsap 5, Gordon Hayward 6. Interesting that Millsap ranked ahead of Gordon. I was a little surprised by that. 5-year max on Millsap at 32 years old is a pretty risky proposition, but it sounds like Atlanta's planning to do that. What I thought was more interesting on Pelton, one is Gallinari was 9, but then Teague was 10, Holiday was 11, and George Hill was 13. So George and Patty Mills was 15. So George Hill, just, and this is just based on his projection system for next year, doesn't deal with anything in regards to injuries or things of that nature. But the difference is George Hill is 31 years old. And so, that makes him a different, Holiday is 26 years old. It's a little bit the same way when you start looking at whether you might trade for a Rubio or a Bledsoe or something like that. You know, their age plays into it as well. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he has his 19th. That's one I think you watch really closely. He and Rodney Hood have a lot of similar numbers, and I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's free agency will have an impact on what happens with Rodney Hood. The other one that's interesting that he throws out there is he had Mirotić ranked fairly high at 12th. And he, he's only 26 years old, but he's been all over the map, to being terrific to then fading to, second half of the season suddenly gets an opportunity and looks great. So there's all sorts of different aspects when it gets to Nikolai Mirotić. So those were the interesting kind of pieces that I thought were out there on those. Playoff thought or two. Boston, nice win last night. But, boy, you better win. I mean, if Cleveland's not going to hit a three and Marcus Smart's going to hit 8 of them, I don't mean to minimize some of this analysis, and I'm not taking away that it was I'll give credit. Like, it was a great win by Boston. So Marcus Smart goes 7 of 10 from 3, and Cleveland got cold for a while. By the end, they were 16 of 38. And LeBron goes 4 of 13, and you win by 3. Yeah, I mean, that's, like, if you're going to get Marcus Smart going 7 of 10 from 3, you probably should win. A lot of, almost 80 threes taken in that game. That's where we are, right? I mean, that is where we are in this league. It's worth noting, by the way, of teams that ranked the highest in percentage of three-point attempts, Boston third, Cleveland second, Houston first, Golden State sixth, Dallas was fifth, and Brooklyn was fourth. But, so the three of the final teams are Boston at 3, Cleveland at 2, and Golden State at 6. It's also worth noting, by the way, that Cleveland takes more threes than Golden State. It's also worth noting that Cleveland is better at the corner three than Golden State, not better at the above the break three, but close. About the exact same, 38 and 37. I mean, immaterial difference. For all the talk of Golden State and their incredible shooting, could make a pretty strong argument that Cleveland is a better shooting team than Golden State for when they match up. There is an argument to that. All right, I want to share this about Murdoch Hyundai before we get to Joe Ingles. This was really cool. I got this email from Trent Evans. I'm sitting in traffic waiting to get on the freeway the other day, catching up on my Locked On Jazz when your sponsorship segment comes on talking about Blake and Murdoch Hyundai. I'm listening and watching the light when the license plate in front of me catches my eye. It's a Hyundai Santa Fe Utah plates with a Lyndon Murdoch license plate frame, because the Murdochs have Logan, Lyndon, and Murray, 4646 South State Street in Murray. Pretty awesome. Here's the kicker. I live in Alabama. So a guy sitting in Alabama listening to Locked On Jazz, and in front of him is a Hyundai Santa Fe. It's a pretty cool story. So Trent Evans, thank you for that story. If you have not heard, it is mayhem at Murdoch. They're doing 25% off cars. I've never heard anything like it. So check it out. You know what? Drive around today and notice how often you see a Hyundai. I never noticed this until I started driving one. I drove it to St. George and back this weekend. Had a wonderful, that was all right, Murdoch's. Had a wonderful, just easy, smooth, comfortable ride. It's just more impressive the more I drive my Santa Fe. This was just so solid. But I was paying attention to how many Hyundais I saw. Do the same. You'll see other people have made the plunge, have taken the information in and learned what the value of the 100,000-mile Hyundai guarantee is, as well as finding out about the great pricing. And at Murdoch right now, 25% off MSRP. It's incredible. So whether it's the Sonata, the Elantra, the Santa Fe, the Tucson, check it out. Add it to your list if you're looking to buy a car, and stop by and see Blake and the crew at 4646 South State Street in Murray. All right, let's talk Joe Ingles for our season in review. Joe's a really incredible story. Players do not traditionally, in fact, you know, if you look at the Jazz, George Hill had a career year, Joe Ingles had a career year, Gordon Hayward had a career year. These are non-traditional jumps. They really are, in the sense that you don't usually have a player make this jump at this stage in his career. It's unusual. How did Joe Ingles do it? Well, a lot of credit to Zach Guthrie, a lot of credit to Joe Ingles, a lot of credit to Joe says to this, the calm and collected aspect of his family life helping him out a great deal. And so what happened? He became third in the NBA in three-point shooting. He played all 82 games, one of only 17 players. He had a career high in points, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, effective field goal percentage, rebounding, assists, steals. His three-point shooting has gone from 36 his first year to 39 his second year to 44 in his third year. It's just awesome. He ended up starting 26 games, playing 24 minutes. Last year, he only played 15. And after the All-Star break, he played 29 minutes a game. It's a wonderful story of a guy finally getting a shot. He went to numerous summer leagues, didn't get invites to NBA camps, went to NBA camps, got cut. How did he do it? The first one is he changed who he was as a three-point shooter. A year ago, he was exclusively catch and shoot in the corners. Now, he went from shooting 32% above the break three to 45% above the break three. Pretty solid. I mean, incredible. Off the bounce, he added a dribble pull-up game. A little bit through film study, a little bit understanding what teams are doing to him. Secondarily, through being able to have better balance. And he went from shooting 29% if he dribbled on a three to 40%. That right corner three continues to be deadly. If he's an open catch and shoot guy, he's an 80% effective field goal percentage. He was 49% on catch and shoot regular after the All-Star break. And he's one of an open catch and shoot guy. He's 97th percentile in the NBA. It's terrific. He was better against the West than the East, better at home than on the road, and certainly valuable in wins. Now, a little bit went the playoffs. He had the double game, the 10 assist game, and 13.11 assist game that was just terrific and helped the Jazz win a playoff game. But overall, the playoffs for him were not as solid. He ended up shooting 40% from the field and 36% from three as he got better as the series went on. But and that was largely because in the last few games he got some looks late in those series. But he had a little struggle there, having to guard Chris Paul, do a lot of things. When he gets pushed, he had a stretch of games against from game, I think it was the final 5 and 6 against LA, and then 1 and 2 against the Warriors was pretty clear. Teams were not going to give him the space that he got in the regular season. He is being taxed at a very, very high level when asked to guard LeBron, Chris Paul, some of these other guys, and often you can see the impact of that the game after. That, to me, is what maybe was the best part of his season, was the times in which he was just asked to do more than natural for him, and then he just fought through it. You go back and look at, he guards LeBron for 35 minutes somewhere along the way, and then, you know, the next four games doesn't hit shots. Well, gosh, you know, one of these guys is the elite athlete that's ever played in the league, and the other one's Joe Ingles, who is a better athlete than he ever gets credit for, but he's not to that level. He went 2 of 5 against LeBron, then he goes 1 of 3, 1 of 5, 0 of 3 the next three games. Like, that's, and then came back, finally got some rest and hit 5 of 5 and got hot. But I think that's the thing I'm most impressed by in regards to Joe. I didn't give the summary on Joe. It's just a terrific developmental story. I guess I probably did a little bit there. The future for Joe is interesting because he's a restricted free agent, so the Jazz can match. I think we've gone through the salary structure enough. They probably need to move a contract to be able to keep him. But I think he wants to be here. There's a chance someone's going to give him a really, really large offer. And I hope this doesn't come off in any way of being I have great faith in Joe. And I really the level of improvement was something terrific. I wonder how much his simpatico with Quinn allows him to play in a way that if he goes to Detroit and plays for Stan Van Gundy or somewhere else, he just doesn't get the same looks, the same activity, the same involvement. Maybe he gets just the same. Maybe he'll be just as good. But I would be dishonest if I didn't say I doubt a little bit. And maybe that's unfair to Joe since he's proven his level of advancement. But I wonder a little bit if he ends up on another team if this isn't just such a good match for him with a coach that understands how to use him, that values what he does, that gets him looks. But on the other end, I mean, he guarded a lot of guys and hit shots, and I'm not a huge believer fundamentally in that players are impacted by teammates. I kind of think they are who they are. And he's showed a huge amount. So, you know, maybe this is awesome for Joe, and he's going to have a good 3 or 4 year, really solid, heavy rotation, semi-starter run in the NBA. And it's a great story. He's obviously a super guy. I don't need to get into that. But so I think we'll be curious to see what happens for Joe. I mean, some of the thoughts I had in the playoffs were just, you know, if you kind of dig into his playoff numbers and you look at some of those kind of things, what you saw were that teams wouldn't let him have some of those same things he got. So on the pull-up three that I talked about, that was such a level of improvement for him, the off-the-bounce three where he went from 29% to 40%, he was 1 of 13 on pull-up threes in the playoffs. His shooting during the playoffs above the break three, I don't know what it was the final night because I never updated my numbers, but above the break three in the playoffs, again, the one that changed who he was as a player, he went from 32% to 45%. He was 6 of 28 on above the break threes in the playoffs. He survived because he was incredible, 9 of 13 on the corner threes. Incredible. But those two things that separate, and there is the career progression that he just had is a bit unnatural. Like, it's hard to believe that a player can make this jump 3 years in a row. But I think how cool is that if he can? You got to give him great credit. All right, that is our look at Joe Ingles. That is our Locked On Jazz brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I think we're looking at Derek Favors tomorrow. By the way, huge congratulations to Rudy Gobert, not only second team All-NBA, but finalist for the two most improved, as well as defensive player of the year. Just terrific. So well-deserved, so earned. He's just – he changes who we are, right? And he – most improved award and defensive player of the year finalist. So congratulations to Rudy. And all the accolades coming his direction are hard work. Alex Jensen should feel very proud of it. So should the many other coaches that work with him all the time. The Jazz development of players has been through the roof, and it has become a signature of who this franchise is, and why players should want to come play for the Jazz. It is Locked On Jazz on the Locked On Podcast Network.